Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 15. And so, let's go to the screen here. If you have your phones, put them on a silent position. Amen. Or we'll think it's the Lord calling us from heaven. Amen, amen. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Lifting Up Holy Hands. Lifting Up Holy Hands. So we're going to continue in this wonderful letter given to Timothy by Paul, which was a dear, almost like a son, his son in the Lord. And he raised them up. Paul raised them up. Amen. It's all about raising up men to continue with the gospel. So let's look at verse 8 through 15, and it reads, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up what? Holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Wow. Look at verse 10. But with which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Wow, that's pretty straightforward on this, doesn't it? Okay, but we got to break it down. Amen. We're going to break this down. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. You know, before I set out to teach on this, these are tough topics. These are tough topics, aren't they? Well, God has to settle your heart, and you got to do a lot of research. You got to search it out. Why did Paul write these things down? And how does it pertain today? These were written down 2,000 years ago. Amen? And so, I would say all of the Word of God is still valid today. Can I get amen? Every jot and every tittle and everything that's crossed is all, if it's the Word of God, the Bible says the Bible's forever, the Word of God's forever settled in heaven. You can't change or subtract, amen? But we need to take everything in context. Remember the word context, okay? So there are explanations to all things. So we have to look at that. We got to explain these verses. So let's start with verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. And so, saints, continually, the theme of prayer, Paul focused on public worship in the church. Okay? Prayer of the congregation should be given by men. And the Greek name was andras, to pray with holy hands, lifted up to God, sometimes may appear somewhat unusual. But it was. In fact, there are some churches today that you can't even lift up holy hands. You can't even tap your feet. Oh, yes. Our sister's not here tonight, but she goes to Texas once every now and then and visits the relative's church, and it's silent. It's like the church of the frozen, not the church of the chosen. Here, let me just say this. I'm just going to say it. If you love Lord, you can't be quiet. Can I get amen? Man, you got to shout it from the rooftop. You got to exalt his name. You got to let people know that he's holy. Man, he's merciful. That he saved us from utter destruction. And now we're walking in his marvelous light. Man, you got to announce it. And then in worship, it should be express worship. That people will come in wherever you're at, and they'll see that you're mighty in love with God. Or are you going to sit there like a pious person? See, in the Old Testament time, saints, prayers were made with the face pointed toward heaven and palms turned upward with hands outstretched. Okay? We see this in the Old Testament, the Levitical priests. Okay? Let me just say this. I don't care if you're on your stomach, on your bed, on your knees, standing up, walking around. Listen, as long as you're opening your mouth and praying and exalting the Lord, that's what matters. Can I get amen? Come on. There's no set pattern. You can easily make a doctrine on praying on your knees. Man, I pray anywhere. I'm praying sometimes when I'm driving with my eyes open. Not closed. But I'm talking to God. Can I get amen? And we need to talk to God. We need to talk to him on a consistent basis. Man, there's some things that sometimes these ungodly thoughts come. And I'm saying, God, remove these things. Or God, forgive me for even thinking of these things. How many of you been through that battle? Okay, it's just me. But these men who prayed needed holy hands. In other words, they had to be clean before God. Clean. You know, before I come around this pulpit here, I got to have clean hands. Can I get amen?
Amen, that's right.
I cannot be in the muck and mire and then come over here and just shoot it from the hip. Sister Yolanda saw me today, man. I was just laboring over there, just praying. God, help me with this message for 2 days, because these are tough topics. And I don't want to offend the sisters. But these are tough. But see, these are scriptures that a lot of churches are going to just
preach it, Pastor. Say it.
What's that game we used to play on the sidewalk? Hopscotch? Hopscotch. We don't hopscotch over scripture, do we? We got to address it. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But right now, he's talking about the men having clean hands right now. If you go further into Timothy in his second letter, I found this right here. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also useful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what?
Pure
heart. I want to hang out with people with a pure heart. Or do you want to hang out the ones that use every other word, the F-bomb? They're on your job. They're everywhere on your job. Some of them are your relatives. Can I get an amen? Man, they don't have a pure heart. They have a filthy mouth. Their tongue is unruly. But we have a choice. After the job is done or whatever, after the birthday party or after whatever the case may be, I don't have to hang with them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I'll pay my respect. I'll bring a gift. I'll celebrate the birthday with them or whatever the case may be. Someone getting married. You know, I'll show face. I won't just shun them. But I won't hang with them after. Can I get amen? Because you have to hang with people with a pure heart. I remember what Bishop Trout, Raymond Trout, he said, you want to be blessed? He asked the congregation, you want to be blessed? Then hang out with blessed people. Why do you want to hang out with people that curse God? They have no mind for God. You know why? Because that stuff will rub off on you. Look at this. but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they what? They generate strife. I was waiting one more time. The guy that cleans my fish tank, every now and then he'll slip an F-bomb. The Lord was giving me grace, but if he was going to do it one more time, I was going to say, you know what? You do a great job, but I can't have you speak like that in here no more. You're going to be courteous. So the next one, when he comes again, God said, you got to let him know. And if he quits and he goes, God will find me another cleaner. Or he'll just teach me God will show me how to do it myself. Look at Psalms 24, 4 through 6. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. How many want that? This is why Paul was saying to the men during this time, to Timothy, that you need to have clean hands and a pure heart. Man, King David already knew that. Look at this. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. That song, O God of Jacob. You remember that one? We seek your face. We lift up your hands. That song was by what? He writes all kinds of songs. Chris Tomlin. Holy Hands. Thank you, God. Look at 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, Holy Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a what? Pure heart. There should be no motives in us. I love you because of this. No. You need to love the brother and the sister for who they are to God. God's created being. Especially in the church. Can I get amen? Amen. Having been born again, look at this. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which, look at this, which lives and abides forever. And how long is forever?
Forever.
And why is he saying this? Why is Peter saying this? Because he continues in verse 24, look at this. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Look at this. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is a word which by the gospel was preached to you. So in other words, don't play around with the things that are holy and righteous that God has given us. Whatever we do to one another, whatever we do in ministry, when we go pray, when we give unto the Lord, whatever the thing, do it with a pure heart and clean hands. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Knowing that God has given us a gift to serve Him. You know, it's a gift to serve Him. And it's a privilege. If you think it's an obligation, oh man, I gotta go, man. The prayer night. Stay home. Just stay home. Just stay home. Just stay home. You're only tormenting your mind. Just stay home. But when you come with a pure heart and no motives are attached, you're gonna want to worship the King. Can I get an amen? You want to be in the Word. So let's move on to verse 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here we go. Look at this. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. You see, my friends, as the men were to show their right attitudes with holy hands, so the women in the Ephesian congregation here is to show holy attitudes with a modest outward appearance. Paul emphasized that their internal character was for more important than any outward adornment. God's looking at the character of a woman to shine. Because I remember what John Hagee said. He goes, I can spot a Pentecostal. He said their dresses are past their ankles, but their tongue is longer than the dress. Yeah, they keep all the rules. But man, do they love to gossip. Their tongues are longer than their dress. When he said that, I said, whoop. I said, uh-oh, you didn't go there, did you? And so, Paul emphasized that their internal character was far more important than their outward adornment. Look what I found in 1 Peter 3. Look at this. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Uh-oh, I'm backing it up with Scripture here. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. Did you catch that?
Yes.
You could come looking like a rock star, but that heart might be ugly.
Yep. Far from God.
Far from God. Don't care about the things of God. I just want to be seen.
Admired.
Adorned. Somewhat worship. You're so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Did you catch that, saints? We're not downcasting women here. But this is what God is expecting from the sister. Can I get an amen? No different than how he wants men to have pure hearts and holy hands, clean hands. Look at this. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Wow. You know, that's pretty deep. But you know what? They did model loving one another all the way to the end. They got it wrong about the son being the son of promise. But God had to correct that, didn't he? And unfortunate for Ishmael, he had to be banished with the mom. Because that was basically going ahead of God. You know, that's a lesson learned for all of us. Don't get ahead of God. If you ever watch football and you're driving down to the 5-yard line ready to score, maybe win the game, and then you commit a holding call. Yes. Or you said something derogatory. 15-yard penalty just backed you up, and now you lost the game. We can do that with God. Can I get an amen? Look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 talks about the woman that God shapes and molds. Not culture, not society, not here in San Diego or New York or Hollywood. But look at this. In Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness. I can honestly say, by the grace of God, in the past 28 years that we've been married, my wife has been kind to me, never mean to me. we're kind to one another. We don't provoke one another. We don't pick a fight. It's not in us. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. And it has bridled our tongue. So we look at each other to love one another like He called us to love. When Christ comes back to the church, He's coming for a church that, number one, loves Him and loves one another. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's not coming back for a, what do you call, a dysfunctional family? He's not. Look at this. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. I'm always saying thank you, honey. Thank you. And even if I didn't like the meal she cooked, I say, man, it's good. Thank you. I'm not going to tell her. You know why? Because I don't want in return, then cook it yourself. You cook the next one then. No, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? She took the time. So what if the cap fell off and more salt came in? It happens to all of us. Look at this. Verse 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Can I get an amen? That's it in a nutshell right there. Hallelujah. Man, we are to see those qualities in godly women. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But today's culture, we want to just see Coke bottles. See, this culture has duped us to look at other things instead of looking the beauty, the inward beauty. Women's standard for dress was to be characterized by decent and appropriate clothing. We get that. No one should come to church looking like a floozy. Can I get an amen? This is what I always, Pastor Leo, my former pastor, used to always tell the church. Check yourself at the door before you go to church. In other words, ask yourself, is this appropriate? Will this cause someone to stumble? I mean, letting too much flesh show. Why? Because there's people that God has delivered. They don't want to see temptation. Can I get amen? Can I get amen with that? Paul's appeal here was to good taste and good sense within their purity. Women believers were to dress and their behavior in a manner that complemented rather than clashed with their character. So, you know, guess what? If the inward is good, the outward will be good too. But if the inward is corrupt, the outward will look corrupt too. And so, they were not to distract from the worship by drawing attention to themselves. I'm at North Park. All the single brothers had to sit in the front. Remember that, brother? All the single brothers had to sit in the front. And I asked one of the others, why did the single brothers? Because they don't want your eyes glazing around. Stay focused on worship and stay focused on the word. Can I get amen? Because eyes can wander. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And we had about 350 people. Not 350 in there. It was packed there all the time. Every service was, it was good. It was good. We didn't realize during that time that was true revival. We didn't know it was revival. Over 50 ministers came out of there. Birthed out of North Park Apostolic Church. I'm just one of maybe the 50 that got birthed out. You too, brother. You were birthed out of there. To understand these instructions, we must look at them in the light of the whole Bible. Did you know that Jesus had to set them free even during this time? Because they were under oppression. Did you know that why did Moses give them a certificate of divorce? You know why? Because of the hardness of their heart. Back in that day, you burn my toes, I'm putting you away. They found a reason just to get rid of her. And we're going to get another. Guess what? The church today has caught up with the world. We'll just change them out in here too. I believe everyone is going to be accountable for all that. We're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. You know what? I just want to say, God, in my BC years, I didn't know how to treat a woman. But when you saved me, I learned how to love you. And then I learned how to love my wife that you gave me. I want that to go on. I want that to, that's recorded with them, with the courts of heaven. You see, Paul understood that they were under oppressive rules and regulations. The women were considered second class back then. And we're going to see in the scriptures that are coming up why they it looks like they had to be silent, why they couldn't teach. Okay? And so, but we got to look at the light of the scripture and the contents of it. So the immediate contents was the church in Ephesus. This is where all this is taking place. Which was suffering from the effect of false teachers who used women as their prime targets. The false teachers. They wanted someone to rag on. Further on, when we get to the second letter, I found this. Look at this. This is what men back then, during this culture, that culture, and even the times before, how they would look at women who were very gullible. And so this is what Paul was referring to. Wait a minute. They have to grow in wisdom and understanding because of how they've been treated. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3, 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. They took advantage of these women who had no exit. Some of them were oppressed, some of them were misused, some of them came from dysfunctional families, but these men prayed and were looking for these gullible women to creep into their homes and take a mockery of them. It's right here in the Word. For of this sort, those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. So Paul had to address this because it was a concern then. But guess what? It's still a concern today. Now, while there is nothing wrong with Christian women wanting to look nice. We get that. Each woman was examined her own motives, though. Can I get amen? Today's world places great emphasis on beauty. Commercials, billboards, everything's beauty, 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 beauty. Christian women, while they can dress nicely and take care of their appearance, must at the same time not let their appearance become all-encompassing. And they must not enhance their appearance merely for sex appeal or attention getting. We talked about this earlier. Proverbs 31 woman, is they have it within them to live in modesty, purity, no agendas, where even the husband and the children call her blessed. And so let's move on to verse 10 in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at this. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works? Professing godliness, but also with good works. Let me just say this. If you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name, good works will follow you. Can I get amen? It's not about being good. It's about being saved, and then these good works will follow. Some people go, oh, I got to just be good, and that's going to weigh out the good and the bad of my life. Wrong. Because we could be like monks in a monastery and still miss it. Why? Because just being good doesn't get you into heaven. Can I get amen? You need to be washed in the blood. You need to repent of your sins. You got to acknowledge Jesus came to die for your sins. Rose again on the third day to give us life. We can't save ourselves. How many believe that? We cannot save ourselves. Look what we find in Titus chapter 2. Look at this in verse 3. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You won't see this scripture on The View. To be homemakers? To be good? To be obedient? All those disobedient women on That View is all so left. Left wing. It's horrible. They embrace evil. They embrace sin. This right here, they look at it and they'll spit on that. You bunch of right wingers. It's okay, because God is right. I follow the scripture. I don't follow a political party. I don't follow man. I follow Jesus. Because He's the Word. Can I get amen? Scripture does not prohibit a woman from wanting to be attractive, beautiful. However, as we talked about, it begins on the inside. Can I get amen? I came across some women that are beautiful on the inside and beautiful outwardly too. And I think Yolanda can agree with me, one particular sister that we know that has both, beautiful inside, beautiful outward, is Sister Elisa Calvani. She was my home fellowship. Her and her husband was our home fellowship leaders. That woman, man, was beautiful on the inside and beautiful outward. I used to say, man, I hope my daughter grows up to be like her. And my daughter has. not like her, but grew up with a beautiful heart to raise her kids, to homeschool them, keep them away from this untoward generation. A gentle, modest, loving character gives light to the face that cannot be duplicated by the best cosmetics and jewelry in the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Christian women are not to try to be unattractive. We get that. Instead, Paul called them to reject the world standard for attractiveness. Because those things are deceiving. You could look like all that and be corrupt on the inside. Let's move on to verse 11. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. So many women have read these verses and have been distressed. But they read it out of context. You got to read it in context. Can I get an amen? To understand these verses, we must understand the situation in which Paul and Timothy worked. In the first century, in the Jewish culture, women were not allowed to study. They weren't. And all they knew was the Jewish culture. They were to be silent. So they brought this in the New Testament. But later on, when God got a hold of their hearts and filled them with the Holy Ghost, many women became awesome teachers. They exhorted people. And I'm going to show you some names in the Bible of women to prove my point. Slow your roll. Let me get there. The Jews were stricter, not even allowing women to teach the male children past the age of 5. They were so strict. They were very religious. This is why the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, they had an issue with Jesus. Because Jesus was what? The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the Word wrapped in the body of flesh, and they missed it. So in Greek philosophy, Plato, he granted women equality with men. Aristotle severely limited their activities, and his view was more widely accepted. When Paul said that women could learn, he was affirming their recognition as teachable members of the church. Because some of them excelled in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Christian women were given equal rights with men when it came to studying the Holy Scriptures once they became born again. And they came out from the law. Can I get amen? Look what it says here in 2 Timothy 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. We are to build up us men. There's two men here tonight, and those who are watching. We must learn how to build up our sisters in the Lord. Build them up. Never tear them down. Because they're precious in the sight of God. Can I get amen? Women are precious. They're the ones at the tomb first. One of them even cracked her fragrance that was thousands of dollars at the time, broke it open, and washed the feet of Jesus. God had to shout that from the rooftop. Because the men wanted her gone. Get out of here. Hey, leave them alone. What do you say? Let her be. She's having a one-on-one with me. God loves women. Given the tension between the influx and recognition of women as fellow heirs of Christ within the church, on the one hand, and on the serious problems being caused by the false teachers, False teachers are the ones that caused the issues. They were creeping in and using the Old Testament things and calling this is false teaching. They need to have a silent mouth. Shut them up. Paul was affirming one right to learn and listen quietly while withholding another right to teach because of the condition of the church at that time. At that time, many of them were just getting saved, and they were some of them were coming out of the law. The Gentiles were coming out of the world, but the Jews that got saved, they came out of the law. And throughout the Old Testament, silent. The men could only speak. So God gave Paul wisdom to say, hey, wait a minute. The opportunity will come where these women will grow with knowledge and wisdom and passion. Some interpret this passage to mean that women should never teach in the assembled church. However, saints of God, other passages point out that Paul allowed women to teach. Did you know that he allowed women to teach? Paul commended co-worker Priscilla, who taught Apollos, the great preacher. Apollos was a great preacher. But guess what was mentioned in the book of Acts? Let's read it so we can clarify this. Look at this. Let's go to verse 12 first. I think I went a little too fast. Yes. It says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Okay. So, let's look what Paul allowed. Can I get an amen? Let's get there to Acts. Acts 18:24. Look at this. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Say that with me. Mighty in the scriptures. This guy knew the word. When God writes it down, Paul wrote it down because the Holy Spirit gave it to him. Holy Spirit gave Paul the unction to write this down. Born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man has been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. What? He didn't know the baptism in Jesus' name. He only knew the baptism of John. Repent and be baptized. Look at this. So let's go to the next verse. And 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him, taught him the way of God more accurately. Woo! Jesus! If this wasn't for women to do, it would never have been recorded like this. Paul wrote it down because guess what? They brought more truth to the brother. He was just thinking of the baptism of John the Baptist. So look what Aquila and Priscilla did. Took him aside. Explained it to him the way of God more accurately. Come on. It's right here in the scripture. Saints, in addition, Paul frequently mentioned other women who held positions of responsibility in the church. Women are vital, vital saints of God in the church. Which one comes to mind right now? If I were to say, what woman that comes to mind that Paul wrote down a lot? Come on, Bible scholars. You're the ones that don't miss here.
Did he mention Huldah, or was that?
No, the one that he mentions that I believe Paul really held her in high esteem was Phoebe. Look at what he wrote in Romans 16. Look at this. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church and Cynthia, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and also of myself. Also, wow! Phoebe, remember her. When you're mentioned like that, she was something before God. She was a powerful woman of God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They just weren't just written down. God wanted us to know that there was a powerful sister back then, and there are powerful sisters today. Thank you, God. And then he mentions other ones like Mary, Tryphena, Tryphosa. Those are some good, interesting names to name your children. Or how about Odia and Sintinche? Huh? Sintinche. Odia. Every time we have a little gathering and we're just free time, Sister Araceli and I, we would always just shoot the breeze. You know, names of sisters, that Mexican name, like Consuela, Concha, Esmeralda,
Lola.
They don't got these names, but they're important sisters. Well, look at these. Tryphosa. Tryphena. Yodia. Sintiche. And so, where is it mentioned in the scripture? Look at this. Romans 16:6. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. So he mentions Mary. Look at this in Romans 16:12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. He names them. Look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Look at that. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And then in verse 2, he says, I implore Yodia and implore Sintinche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Listen, when we all get to see the Lord, what I hope he says to you, sisters, Jesus will say, I implore you, Araceli, I implore you, Yolanda, I implore you, Dolores, Sister Lola. You want him to speak your name like that. Well, they're in the halls of Scripture now for us to see their name, to be reminded of them. God didn't want them to be just a name. He wanted us to remember them. More likely, Paul restrained the Ephesian women from teaching because they didn't yet have knowledge or experience yet. So it was like, let's let them grow. They came out of legalism. They came from the law. We can't just dump this on them. Let's let them grow in their faith. And that's what these women did. And that's why Paul shouted it from the rooftop. Woo! Thank you, God. These weren't ordinary sisters. These were powerful sisters. They probably gave of themselves, taught with wisdom. They were godly women. And so the Ephesian church had a particular problem with false teachers. Both Timothy's presence and Paul's letters were efforts to correct the problem. Evidently, saints, the women were especially susceptible to the false teachers because they did not yet have enough biblical knowledge to discern the truth yet. Look at this. Paul gave a warning to Timothy about their day, no differently that we are to take heed no differently 2,000 years later. In 2 Timothy 3, look at this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of what? Good. Look at this. Verse 4. Traitors, headstrong. This is a teaching. This is like an hour and a half teaching just on these descriptions. But we don't have time to do that. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. There's some people that you just have to cut off. Yeah. Can I get amen? Amen. You just got to turn them loose, man. I can't be with you. Mm-hmm. I can't allow my spirit to be next to yours, because yours is of the world. And I need to protect what God has given me, especially for what my ears would hear. Look at this. For of this sort, we talked about this earlier. We're going to look at it again. For of this sort, all those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins. So a lot of them came out of that mess. Why do you think God doesn't make you a minister or a pastor right away? Unless you go online and print out a certificate of ordinance, of ordination. Then you can go do the work anytime you want. No. You gotta grow with that congregation. The elders, the pastors, the congregants need to see you growing. Because guess what? Then you'll have favor from God and favor with man. That's a marriage there. The two men were raising up. None of them asked me, hey, can I teach? Can I preach? This is what I love about those two. They were asked to come do this because this is what God saw. They weren't asking for that. When someone's asking for something like that, I know right away, out of the years of experience, they're not ready for that. You have to grow with knowledge and wisdom. And slowly but surely, they'll gravitate to the things of God. And I say those two are on their way. Can I get amen?
Amen, amen.
That's right. One Sunday, they're just going to preach the whole hour. Because they're both blessed. I like them both equally. They're both blessed. And God is doing something mighty with them. And so Paul may have been countering the false teachers, urging that women should claim a piece of equality for prominence in the church. Because these women were new converts, they did not yet have the necessary experience and knowledge, as I just shared. Can I get amen? The equality given by Christ was radical. Radical. Look at this. In Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Look at this. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. You see, when we come into the saving knowledge and born again, we're all equal at the cross. From that moment on, it's all about growing now. Increasing your faith. Yes. Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Yes. If you're not hearing the word of God, you're going to be stunted in your growth. You got to be in your word. You got to study, make yourself approve, rightly dividing the word. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And because these women were new converts, like as I just mentioned, they were radically changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. Verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. You see that? How many believe there's an order with God? I've heard it said like this. Yeah, God is first, then the husband, then the wife. And the wife tells everyone, he's the head of the house. But I'm the one that turns his neck. I'm the one that tells him what color to wear. Oh, you're not like that kind of sister, are you? We've had many counseling sessions, huh, honey, with people. I'm not gonna blast them. We would have to tell the sister in love, you're in God's way. You got to let the man be who he is. You got to let him be the priest. You got to let him lead. Come alongside him and pray. But if you're the boss, it's out of order. And there's really nothing we can say anymore. Oh, I know this is tough tonight. There's some men that have no say in their home. No say in their home. The woman is the ruler. Oh, come on. Oh, you don't know those folks. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just me that knows them. Some scholars see these verses about Adam and Eve as an illustration of what was happening in the Ephesian church. Just as Eve had been deceived in the Garden of Eden, so the women in the church were being deceived by false teachers. Just as Adam was the very first human created by God, so the men in the church in Ephesus should be the first to speak and teach because they had the training. A lot of them knew the scriptures because they came out of Judaism. Can I get an amen? You can't say that much for the Gentiles. Because they were heathenistic, just like the women that came in too. I'm talking about the ones that Jews got saved first during this time. Gentiles came later. So Eve should have turned to Adam for advice about Satan's words to her. Why? Because Adam had more experience with God's instructions. What did God tell Adam? Do not eat from what? It was also necessary to simplify the task of weeding out the false teachers. Also men who were destroying the church from within. Let me tell you, man, be careful who comes into your church and has all these great ideas and want to turn what's going on into their image. We've been there, done that, seen that. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Other scholar saints, however, contend that the principles Paul points out are based on God's design for His created order. God established these roles to maintain harmony in both the family and the church. So look at this in Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a what? A ruler over his home. I will make the man a boss. To tell him what to do. Is that what it says? I will make him a helper. Comparable to him. To help him. To allow the man to lead. Can I get amen? Listen. Even if she has a whole different I'm going to say, idea, or she looks at it in a different light of whatever the situation may be. The way you resolve it is you take it to prayer, and then the woman says, okay, I gave you my insight, but I'm going to pray for you to make the final decision. Because that's his role. The woman needs to speak up and Sister Yolanda tells me many times, this is not good for you, honey. No, don't do this, honey. I listen to her. Because she sees my blind spots. She sees the things I don't see. Or the things that I don't want to see. And she points them out to me in love. And I love her for that. Because God has saved my bacon through her many times. Women are to come alongside to help him. Can I get an amen? Amen. To help him. Not to persecute him. Not to belittle him. Not to make him feel like he's just a little doggy that wags his tail like a pet. No, he's the leader. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's God's order. Oh, I just probably seen several probably turn off their Facebook now and their YouTube. Enough of this guy. Yeah, they threw it out. I want to hear this. You're rocking my world. God created men and women with unique and complementary characteristics. Can I get amen? I can't do the things she does. She loves the quilt. Man, I'll poke my finger. And the first needle I pick up, that's her thing. And there's beauty in what she does. Amen? She can't make a coffee like me. She goes, you go make it, honey. I go, okay, I'll make us a cup. There's some things that I do better. But there's things that she does beautifully. I can't make a quilt. Man. And many other things. I can't cook like her. No way. She goes, oh, honey, won't you cook something? I go, lasagna again? That's all I know, lasagna or spaghetti. Okay, now you guys are being just kind here tonight. And so we must not let the issue of authority and submission become a wedge to destroy what can be excellent in working relationships with one another. With men and women using their various types of gifts and abilities, they complement one another. Can I get an amen? And so we're coming in for a close. We got two more verses. Verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. An animal is not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Uh-oh. Paul's marking this down. All right, sisters. But there's grace in this. There's grace in it. Can I get an amen? There's grace. Because Paul was not excusing Adam for his part in the fall. I look at it like this. Okay, yeah, she heard Satan's voice and got duped. But where was the brother? How come he wasn't with her? That's a question, huh? That's something that needs to be what? Addressed one day. Yes. And this is not a good time for this. It goes, you know where. Thank you, God. So let's turn to Genesis 3. Look at this. In Genesis 3, 6 through 7. So when the women saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And so this was sharing what took place. But let me just say this. Yes, they fumbled the ball. Yes, mankind would have never been like it is today if they would have been obedient. But let me just say this tonight. God always makes a way of escape. Can I get an amen? He knew already that they were going to fumble the ball. He knew already. And he didn't step us out like you step on a pulga or a roach. He's a God of all mercy. Can I get an amen? Look at Genesis 3:17. Look at this. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In other words, you bit it too. The man was at fault too. Quit just putting it on Eve. Adam was at fault too. Can I get amen? Amen. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you should not eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. Look at this. In verse 19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Wow. Wow. And so saints, on the contrary, in his letter to the Romans, Paul placed the primary blame for humanity's sinful nature on Adam, not Eve. There was grace for this. Look at this in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin, look at this. Just as through one man sin entered into the world, man, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Adam could have just pulled it out of, don't bite that. We were told not to eat that. He goes, no, man, I want to bite too. This is real good. Eve had not been told directly by God about the tree. Adam is the one that should have instructed her. Amen? So in turn, God instructed Adam about the trees before Eve was created. Before he pulled the rib out of him. He already told, don't, out of all this, don't eat the one that's in the center. Don't eat the fruit from there. He already knew. For Eve, the struggle was over whether to submit to Adam's command or to the serpent's words that seemed to offer her knowledge and understanding. So he duped her. That's what Satan does. He wants to dupe you. Can I get an amen? Be careful. There's false teachers that want to dupe you. I think one of the biggest false premises of the scriptures is the amillennialists. They don't believe in a rapture. They don't believe, they believe that the world's going to get better and then Christ will come. They're called amillennialists. And included in that doctrine is replacement theology. They've already replaced the church for Israel. And so that is a lie from the pit. I was talking to my brother Dell yesterday. Two people that came from our home fellowship, they're not here no more with us. They go to other places. They bought into that. No rapture. Their church sees them. There's no rapture. Wow. Well, when the wrath of God falls, we won't be here. Can I get amen? Amen. Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. God's going to remove us out of the way. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to our last verse of scripture in verse 15. Nevertheless, oh, no, wait. I think I got a couple more. No, that was it. Verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. The most likely interpretation that takes into account the immediate contents is that, rather than abandoning their intended roles by demanding teaching and authoritative positions in the church, women will find true fulfillment through childbearing. Did you know that there are some women, they refuse to have children? You know how many couples that you have come across, they've been married for all these years, and they don't want children? Really? The Bible said that if you can, we are to procreate the world. Can I get an amen? To me, if you're able physically and trust God financially that he can bring in the funds, do what God has said from the very beginning, to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But the people that refuse not to, they're selfish. They don't want to spend money on that. We just want to spend money on us and vacation and prosper, houses, whatever, and not even care about raising up a future pastor, a future bishop, a future evangelist, a future soul winner. No desire. Paul is saying that God calls women to be faithful and helpful wives, raising children to love and worship God and managing the household wisely. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We see this later on in Timothy, but I went a little ahead just to make these points in verse 15. Look at this. 1 Timothy 5:14. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak what? Reproachfully. God wants families to bear children. Praise God. We have 8 grandchildren now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We have 4 children and 8 grandchildren. That's God's grace. Hallelujah. If one more comes, we'll have a team for baseball. Look at this. Titus 2, 3, and 5. Look at this. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Wow. Saints of God, how many believe that Jesus is coming soon? He's coming soon. And look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says it best, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at their verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. This is what destroys that doctrine of all millennials. Because that hasn't happened yet. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice we're going to meet him in the air. He's not going to put his feet on the earth yet. That's his second coming. The Exodus or rapture is not the second coming. It's taking the believers out of the world. Then he's going to pour out his wrath and judgment on this earth. How many want to be left behind to experience that? And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No! Comfort one another with these words. And how many believe that God has to have confirming scriptures? Why? Because two witnesses establishes a truth. In the Old Testament, New Testament, you had to have 2 to 3 witnesses to establish a truth. Court of law, you better have witnesses. Can I get an amen? If you are a defendant, you better have. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning some of us are not going to experience physical death. But we shall be all changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what?
Changed.
Say that with me. Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friends, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't let this, what you're about to see, happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or He might come next week. Or He could even come...
ready. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. If that is you watching right now, you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name, and having a hell to shun and heaven to gain. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Saints of God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.